Hi, and welcome to this audio edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? With host Doris Hansen. On this program, we discuss polygamy and Mormon fundamentalism from a biblical Christian perspective. We talk about the history of polygamy, its modern-day fruit, share stories from people who have escaped polygamy, and talk about current events relating to polygamy. You can learn more about the video edition of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. And now, here's Doris.
Welcome to our show tonight. I'm your host, Doris Hansen. Tonight's show will help our viewers to understand why we chose to call our program Polygamy, What Love Is This? In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, we read the words, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God." Compared to the love that God has for us, can you fathom how anyone can substitute a counterfeit love like polygamy in place of God's unconditional love? There is no love in polygamy, and polygamy is not based on the love of God, as you will easily discover tonight. We want to thank you for inviting us into your homes tonight, and we are broadcasting live from Salt Lake City, Utah. And this is a telephone call-in program, and our phone number is 801-973-TV20. That's 801-973-8820. Of course, if you would prefer to email your questions or comments, our email address is tv@aboutpolygamy.com. Viewers in the Boise, Idaho, Nampa, Idaho area can watch our delayed show on Sunday afternoons from 4 to 5 p.m. on KCLP Channel 18 in the Boise, Nampa area. And of course, live streaming video allows our viewers from around the globe to be able to watch our show every Thursday evening at this time. That's 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Just go to our website, whatloveisthis.tv, and all of our previous shows can be watched or rewatched on a streaming video from our website, whatloveisthis.tv. Book and DVD resources are also available from our website, as well as links to other great sites in your journey, and we hope you are taking a journey to discover biblical truths and biblical salvation. We want to remind you of the new DVD from Sacred Groves. It's entitled Unveiling Grace. It's the story of eight individuals from Mormon traditions who discovered the real Jesus Christ, and you can pre-order your copy from our website, whatloveisthis.tv, as well as from the website sacredgrovesonline.org. The next meeting, we do have a Life After Polygamy support group. It's a discussion group. We meet next Monday night. That's February 28th at 6:30 p.m. And if your life has been touched or impacted by polygamy in any way, you're invited to come, grab a friend, bring them on down, call or email us for details, 6:30 on the 28th. And to find out more about us and what we do to help people in polygamy groups, you can go to our website, shieldandrefuge.org. If you're in a polygamy group and you would like some help or just have questions you'd like answered, give us a call. We have a toll-free hotline. It's 877-425-9993. We offer you hope. We offer you a safe support system. We want you to know that the true God is not at all like the God introduced and taught in the Mormon or the fundamentalist belief system. The true God does not and has never required polygamy or celestial marriage for any reason at all, ever. It's your eternity. We care about your eternity, and we want you to check it out. Next week, our guest is going to be Lynn Wilder. Her husband, Michael Wilder, has been a guest on our show a couple of times, and they are the parents of two of the members of the Adams Road Band. Lynn is a former BYU professor and a former Mormon, and we're going to discuss some of her experiences after she chose the truth of biblical Christianity over the falsely restored gospel of Joseph Smith. So be sure and tune in next week. We're sure that you'll enjoy our discussion. And we want to remind our viewers of our disclaimer. Our disclaimer that when we discuss issues on our show, you need to remember that doctrinally, polygamists are Mormons too. Many of the doctrines that polygamists follow originated from the early Mormon church doctrine, so many of our discussions echo the mainline LDS church beliefs. And of course, when Joseph Smith is included in the equation, his teachings are relevant and relative to every subject matter each and every week because the fundamentalists embrace Joseph Smith as their prophet too. Tonight we're going to open up the telephone lines early so we can take phone calls from anyone who may have information about the suicide pact among certain members of the Kingston polygamy groups. Excuse me. The phones are open now. We're going to open them right now, but please, they're open only for anyone who can give us information about this suicide plan. Don't call us to give your opinion. We only want those who will give us information. If you're part of the plan, or if you know of someone who's part of it, or if you can have any information that will help us help them, please call in. You can use an alias. You can disguise your voice. You can have a friend call for you. Or you can just leave an off-the-air statement. Your identity will not be made public. And if you would rather email us with the information, please send the email to tv@aboutpolygamy.com. I do have some emails regarding the situation of the suicide pact in the Kingston Polygamy Group, which I'm going to share, so that our viewers will realize that the frustration of young people in polygamy groups is real. The human bondage is alive and well in our communities. Communities that embrace freedom of choice by words, but not by actions. We ought to be ashamed that this tyranny is taking place in the country that encourages freedom all around the world, but turn their own eyes away from the human slavery that's taking place in their own backyards. Polygamy is not freedom of religion. It is merely freedom to abuse and exploit in the name of religion. And we would like to know how we can communicate that truth, that fact, to you. I first learned about the suicide pact a few weeks ago by email, and I want to share a portion of that email with you. Quote, "I don't know if you can help or not, but it came to my attention that some in the Kingston clan have decided to commit suicide one by one starting in April. I'm not sure how many people are involved. They are saying they plan to have a public death to make a point to the Attorney General's office in hope they will do something about the Kingstons. I don't know what to do or if I should do anything. Any advice you can give me would be greatly appreciated. Thank you." So I received that email. You know, these people's lives are hell on earth. I know what they're going through. My life was hell on earth when I was growing up. I grew up in the same group, the Kingston group. That's why I escaped, and things haven't changed. It's the same problems, a different year, and they want and they need safe help. They're asking for intervention, for investigation into the Kingston polygamy group by the Attorney General's office. Perhaps it's time for those who have been elected into public office to serve justice, to recognize that the facade of polygamy groups is not the reality of what's going on inside those groups. Their hands-off policy, which is what they seem to have, could result in another Kool-Aid catastrophe. They need to lift their heads up out of the sand. And to all of those who are part of this suicide pact, please know there is a better way. There are people who will do everything they can to help you. Did you know that the true Jesus, not the Jesus that you've been taught about, he's not the true one, but the true Jesus wants you to have an abundant life of peace and joy, not fear and fright and shame and guilt. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10. He said, "The thief comes not but for to steal and kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly." You know, the thief often comes disguised as a false religion, a religion that may seem right, but biblically it's dead wrong. The devil is in a battle for your souls. Don't let him win. Polygamy group leaders use the term God in an attempt to validate their own private agenda. But the true God has never validated the polygamy agenda. They claim he has, but he hasn't. And there is no example of a polygamy group in the Bible. You won't find one. And if God hasn't put it there, you don't need to do it. You will not make God angry if you leave the group. In fact, God has much better plans for you. You can discover that for yourself. And I would like to give you this verse for starters. Let's read Jeremiah 29:11. And in that, God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." The tragedy is that most people never discover God's good plans for them because they are too brainwashed. They are too tunnel visioned. They're too busy following men's plans for them. They're too busy working to exalt themselves. Well, we received another email from an anonymous person who wrote. He identified himself as being in the Kingston Polygamy Group. He basically said that he had never heard anything of a suicide pact until he heard about it on our show. He said he knew about everything there was to know that's going on in the group, and since he didn't know about it, he didn't believe it was true. He said if it was true, quote, "We would like to help them out in any way we can to prevent anything like that from happening," end quote. However, his statements are highly suspect. He refuses to believe it's true, but he says if it's true, he'd like to help. But if he really wanted to help, why didn't he give any contact information? He gave no name, no reply email address, no personal identification, no telephone number, no way to get a hold of him. He was totally anonymous. So we could not ask him for the help that he said he wanted to give, proving that his intentions are not to help. His words indicate he only wants to silence the wave makers rather than help him. And that gives me the chills. All he really cares about became evident in the rest of his email as he strived to convince us of how wonderful the Kingston Polygamy Group really is. Now, I agree that for the most part, the people of polygamy groups are zealous for God. But their zeal is without knowledge, as Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4 tells us. And because of that, that makes their zeal in vain. Beginning with Joseph Smith, who secretly took 33 plural wives and lied about it, both privately and publicly for years. These groups follow his example, deceiving their members and those outside their groups. The following Bible verse is a great warning about those who deceive others for their own benefit. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13 says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Left without restraint, the abuses in polygamy will continue to get worse and worse. It can't get better because polygamy is not God's will. Well, after I had first mentioned the suicide pact on the air a few weeks ago, a viewer asked us to appeal to them to abandon this plan. They said it will only devastate families and friends that they leave behind. So 2 weeks ago, I read that email on the air. And then I received an email from someone who seems to be part of the suicide pact and asked me to read the response on the air. This person, reflecting on our statement of how devastated loved ones are when suicide takes place, wrote this in the email, quote, "Do you understand how devastating our lives have been? It is because of our family and so-called friends that we are in this situation today. My father once said in our family meeting that he would rather see one of his children strangled to death than hear of them leaving the group and causing shame on his family. And you ask us to spare our lives so that the people who have abused us won't be devastated? Our family doesn't give a expletive deleted as to what happens to us. Don't make our business yours. Please read this response on the air. So, it's obvious that there is a suicide pact being formed in the Kingston Polygamy Group, and this sounds like someone who is in that pact. And I know for a fact that parents tell their children that it's better for them to be dead than to leave the group. Almost every polygamy group uses that tool. I've heard it been said to others. It was said to me over and over again when I was growing up, and I've even heard it being said by Mormon parents to their children. Considering those who make such ugly comments to their own children is one of the reasons we call our show, What Love Is This? To the parents who say these evil things to their children, take heed, because your group is not yours, nor is it your children's savior. Polygamy is not your savior. Despite what Joseph Smith and Brigham Young and all the other despots claimed, your group, your religion, your church is not the savior and has nothing to do whatsoever with God's salvation. Jesus Christ alone is the savior, and that's all anyone needs. And Jesus warned that if you keep the children from coming to him, it's better if a millstone were tied around your neck and dropped into the bottom of the sea. You really must be more careful how you teach and how you treat your children. And the powers that be should begin to hold polygamist parents more responsible. There's more to say, but I do have an off-the-air comment. It says, no one from the actual pact will call in. And that makes sense. It's from an anonymous caller. No other details were given. And I don't believe that they really would, simply because they don't want their voice to be recognized. That's why we say that we will take an alias. You can disguise your voice. Get a friend to call in for you. Let's help you. We just want to help you. I know polygamous groups are extremely secretive. And it's going to be a real challenge just to get this out. But there's help available, and that's what we want to do. But we can't help without information. In contrast, I received an email from another member of the Kingston group with a loving and a helpful attitude. So different than the one who said he knew everything. This person genuinely cares about the people involved, whoever they may be. And this is what that email said. I watched part of your show last night and heard you talk a little bit about a suicide pact in our group. I had no idea there was anything like this going on. Maybe I can be of help to these people. Is there any way that you can relay information to them that I can help them if they want to, even if it's just to talk? I'm from the same group. And I've probably been through a lot of the same things they have. I do understand what life is like in this group. Most of the time, a person just needs to talk to someone who knows, and I know. And so these things are going on in the group, and more than one person is definitely complaining about it. But can you see the difference in these responses from the person who said he knew everything, didn't give any information, anonymous? This person gave contact information. And so to those in the group who need someone to talk to, someone safe, this person will help you. And you would need to contact us, tv@aboutpolygamy.com. Call our toll-free number, 877-425-9993, and we can get you someone to talk to, someone who knows what you're going through. Now, I know that some of those in the suicide pact are probably, no doubt, watching tonight. And I want you to know this. God does not approve of the abusive treatment that you are receiving. There are many people who want to help you, many people who will love you. We're offering you a safe non-confrontational, non-judgmental help, will you contact us? Our phones are open. Let's talk. 801-973-8820. Our phones are open only for calls from people who will give us information, not opinions, but information about this situation. Now, it won't surprise me if we don't get calls because of the secretiveness of these groups, but we are asking you to call, and I did set aside this particular block of time, this tonight's show, for this particular situation. And we will open all of the telephone lines at our regular time for all of our callers. And as we wait for anyone to call in regarding this, I thought that it would be interesting to do a comparison of a few doctrinal statements of what God said versus what Joseph Smith said. And we're going to begin with a belief that man can become God. God said that there is only one God and that He is God. Joseph Smith said, on the other hand, that we've got to learn how to become gods ourselves, which is basically what the serpent told Eve in the Garden of Eden. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 10 and 11 says, "Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." 44:6 says, "I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." 44:8, "Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God, I know not any." Isaiah 45:18, "I am the Lord, and there is none else." Isaiah 45:21, "There is no God beside me, there is none beside me." Now, I want to mention right here that in checking with the Joseph Smith's revision, which is not a real translation, every single one of those verses remain unchanged. So in the Mormon mind, they have to stand as the King James Version reads. So why did Joseph Smith later preach, we can become gods? Quote, "You have got to learn how to be gods yourselves, the same as all gods have done before you," end quote. History of the Church, Volume 6. So, who do we believe? What God said or what Joseph Smith said? God said, "No man should marry a mother and her daughter, nor should he marry sisters." Leviticus 18, verses 17 and 18. "You shall not uncover the nakedness of a woman and of her daughter." Verse 18, "And you shall not take a woman as a rival wife to her sister, uncovering her nakedness while her sister is still alive." Now, the phrase "uncovering her nakedness" means, in the Hebrew language, it means sexual relations. Now, I know some of the polygamists have said, no, it doesn't mean that. It does. Just check it out. It's easy to check out. And again, in these verses, Joseph Smith made no changes to those verses in his revision. It stands as the King James reads it. But Joseph Smith took for plural wives, at least one mother and daughter pair, and at least four pairs of sisters as plural wives. So who should we believe? What God said or what Joseph Smith said? Now, you can find this and other mind-boggling information about Joseph Smith's polygamy antics in a book entitled In Sacred Loneliness. It's written by Mormon author and church member, Mormon church member, Todd Compton. You can find that information that I just mentioned, plus a lot of other stuff about Joseph Smith's polygamy. The next thing God said, not to do any more endless genealogies. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. "Charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies." Titus chapter 3, verse 9. "But avoid endless or foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain." But Joseph Smith said, "The greatest responsibility in this world that God has laid upon us is to seek after our dead." Teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith. So who should we believe? God or Joseph Smith. Accordingly, Joseph Smith brought the Mormon Church into the business and the requirement of endless genealogical work in direct opposition to God's prohibition. Joseph Smith said, "Seek after your dead." And God said, "Don't seek after the dead." Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 through 14. "There shall not be found among you any that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee." Now again, the Joseph Smith translation or revision made no changes whatsoever in those verses. No editing of the passage, so they stand as written. Now verse 11 uses the word necromancer, which refers to seeking after the dead. Communicating with the dead in any way and all activity dealing with the dead is necromancy and is prohibited by God. Despite God's warnings against spiritism and divination and witchcraft, Joseph Smith and many in the early Mormon church were heavily involved with the very things that God prohibited. In his book, D. Michael Quinn, The Mormon Hierarchy, Origins of Power, he wrote that the newly organized Quorum of the Twelve included astrologers, rodsmen, amulet wearer, treasure quest enthusiasts, and seer stone enthusiasts. And for more information about all of these things, Joseph Smith's involvements in these forbidden activities, you can go to utlm.org. And D. Michael Quinn has written a book entitled Mormonism and the Magic World View, and you can also find that book on the website utlm.org. Now, we presented this information tonight in response to a viewer's request, and we've used only a very few relevant scriptures to answer her question. However, several years ago, I did a Bible study on witchcraft and psychics, more in-depth Bible study about all of these things, the astrology, the dead returning, which the dead do not return, and other so-called supernatural activities, all of which God prohibits. So if any of our viewers would like to have more biblical information about this, I'll send you a copy of my study in a PDF format if you'll just email us for it, tv@aboutpolygamy.com. We have not received any more phone calls about this suicide pact. Again, it doesn't surprise me that we don't. I was hoping that people would take the opportunity to give us a call and at least give us some information so we can help break up that pact and give these people hope and a future like God wants us to do. We have an off-the-air comment. It says, only three people are involved in the actual suicide pact. Okay, that gives us a little more information. And thank you for whoever called in with this information. We thank you for that. If you want to tell us who they are privately, again, no names will be made public. We just want to help. And three people are still three human souls that need help. Their lives are not worthless. Their lives are not valueless. They are not to be strangled instead of leaving the group. In fact, the group does strangle you. I know, I've been there. I know, I've been in that group. And I know what it does to people. And we can help you. We can help you. Just give us a call and give us the opportunity to do so. Now, our intention for future shows is to discuss each primary polygamy group at length on nights that I don't schedule a guest, and I usually don't schedule a guest about once a month. Tonight I wanted to begin with the FLDS polygamy group and Warren Jeffs, but of course because of what was going on with this suicide information, time is not going to allow us for a discussion on that situation, on that group. But we can talk about current events We continue where I left off, we'll leave off tonight in the March show, where no guest is scheduled. We are opening our phone lines now to any viewer who wants to call in. Our telephone number is 801-973-TV20. 801-973-8820. Please call in if you have questions or comments regarding our subject matter tonight. There are many things that are going on in the polygamous communities. With the FLDS, it seems like this past week has been full of some interesting happenings. Historically, polygamous societies have been desperately secretive, and it makes it almost impossible, very difficult, to obtain accurate and truthful information about them. I was accused in one of the emails from the Kingston group that most of the things that are said about them are lies. Well, then come out of your secret, come out of your caves, and give us the truth. Let us know the truth. The FLDS itself has put up a website showing some of the dictation that Warren Jeffs has done on the past and given to his people. I'm going to give you that website right now, and if you're interested in finding out some of the things that Warren Jeffs has said to his people in the past, you might want to write this down. I don't know if the website will stay up very long, but I'm going to give it to you, and you can write it down and read for yourself some of the things he says. It's HTTP /phrecords.wordpress.com. You can write that down and go onto that website and read some of the stuff that he has written. You can make your own decision and make your own determination of what Jeffs has done is a good thing. Our discussions of each polygamy group will be considerably less than exhaustive, but it will be basic overviews of the group and hopefully will include current events. There has been, this past week, like I say, several things have happened. A few days ago, Alan Steed, I don't know if you remember when Warren Jeffs was on trial here in Utah, and Elissa Wall, who wrote the book Stolen Innocence, was one of the main people to testify against Warren Jeffs. She had been married off at, excuse me, at 14 years old to Alan Steed, and and he was over 18, and so they eventually arrested him as being part of what happened to Elissa. And just last week, he did a Utah plea deal with them, and he was for taking a child bride for first. He was arrested for first degree felony rape for marrying his 14-year-old cousin, and they made a plea deal with him, and he is going to serve 30 days in jail for what he did. Again, some people might be angry at that. I couldn't be very angry at that myself because he's a victim too. The men and male and female alike are victims when they're raised, born and raised in a polygamy group. He only did what he thought he was supposed to do. He should have checked it out, yes, but he didn't, and he should have. We have opened up the telephone lines. We'd like to have you give us a call, 801-973-TV20. While we're waiting for the phone calls to come in, we do have a spot that we would like to show you again, explaining our mission and what we do to help people get out of polygamy groups. Are you thinking of leaving your polygamous situation? Are you afraid to leave because you might lose the love of your friends and your family and perhaps even the love of God? Are you afraid you'll become destitute if you do leave? When I ran away from my fundamentalist upbringing and the polygamy environment I was raised in, I had no safe place to go, no place that I knew that I would be safe after I left. And I was so naive, I didn't know that I was exchanging one bad situation for another one. In those days, there were no organizations established to help people who needed to safely exit a polygamist environment. That's why a Shield and Refuge ministry exists today. We're here to help those who want to leave a polygamous situation safely and without fear. We do provide you with a safe refuge, and you will be shielded from those who would harm you. So if you're thinking of leaving your polygamous situation, give us a call. We're here waiting to hear from you. Our telephone number, toll-free, is 1-877-425-9993. If you have access to the internet, you can locate us at www.shieldandrefuge.org, and you can contact us immediately, day or night. We would love to help you. God has made a promise in Psalm 91:4 that He shall cover you with His feathers, and you can take refuge under His wings. And it's His truth that will be your shield. You know, the expenses of helping polygamous families and polygamous mothers out of a polygamous situation is mind-boggling. And until the mother, if she needs education or if she needs just to get established in mainstream society, until that happens, sometimes economic expenses are just crazy. You just can't even understand what it might be like. She needs economic support as well as emotional and spiritual support. And she likely will become deeply discouraged and possibly may fail in her attempt to get out of polygamy if she doesn't get that kind of help. Too often, the polygamous husband becomes hostile towards her and the children, and he will refuse to support her and refuse to also give child support once they are away from the control of the polygamy group. And we need to help, and we need help to help these mothers to totally and effectively get out of the group. And this takes a lot of economic help. Susan Schmidt, who is a friend of the ministry and a personal friend of mine as well, she's been on the show two or three times in the past, and she's also in the DVD Lifting the Veil of Polygamy, and is a former polygamist wife. And she's written a book entitled His Favorite Wife. Now, she was the sixth wife of Verlin LeBaron. I don't know if there's going to be a graphic on the screen or not, but this is her book. And we want to offer Susan Schmidt's book to anyone who will donate $15 or more to the Shield and Refuge Ministry. And it is going to be especially designated to the economic needs of those who come to us for help. Susan's story in this book is heartrending. It brings to light the awful conditions that she endured being raised and marrying in a polygamous environment. Susan broke away and she achieved freedom. It's a story of victory, and if she can do it, others can also break free and have that victory. So if you'd like a copy of this book, just send a check for $15 or more. The check needs to be made out to Shield and Refuge Ministry and mail it to Post Office Box 651292, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84165-1292. And at the bottom of the check, you can write book His Favorite Wife so that we'll know to designate the funds to the economic needs of the women. And all funds will be used specifically to help these people as they leave the groups. And so we do appreciate anything, and the mothers especially appreciate all the help that we can give them. Okay, it looks like we have some calls coming in here. We have on line two, Marcia from Ogden. Hello, Marcia.
Good evening, Doris. I don't know whether or not you heard this on the news a few days ago, on local news, and it caught my attention because of two specific points that they made. They said something about the FLDS, which I believe you were a member of at one time.
Not the FLDS. I was a member of the Kingston group.
Oh, okay. Well, they mentioned FLDS, and then they said something about Warren Jeps, and I believe the portion that I caught of it was something about him going to be made the prophet or the president of the church again. And I was just wondering if you happened to have caught that, what your take is on it. And I'll hang up so I can hear your reply, if I may.
Okay, that's fine. You betcha. I have some of that information here. I was going to mention that a little bit later if we didn't have all the phone calls. But Warren Jeffs, actually, he isn't made prophet again. He made himself prophet again. That's the way it works. Warren Jeffs is, again, running the FLDS from jail. He was kicked. He had kicked out somewhere around 30 members of the group. They were Obviously, he was paranoid about some of these leadership positions that they had maybe for too many years. But that's the way the cult mind works in polygamy groups. They just get paranoid. And they were a threat to him. But from jail, he had filed papers with the state of Utah to put himself down as the leader of the FLDS polygamy group again. Now, he's scheduled to go to trial later this year on sexual assault and bigamy charges in Texas. But he is running the polygamy group from his jail cell. Jail cells have telephones. Jeffs has telephone cards. I mean, his people are buying telephone cards, of course. And so Warren Jeffs has signed those legal documents officially retaking control of the FLDS. He gave up control in about 2007 and assigned the administration over to Wendell Nielsen, I believe is his name. And some of the people that seem to have been removed are Willie Jessup, who was Warren Jeff's bodyguard and spokesman, David Zitting, the mayor of Hilldale. Merrill Jessup may have been ousted. I haven't had confirmation on that. But it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, that he can run such an illegal and abusive group from a jail cell. It's just mind-boggling. But yes, that's exactly what's happened. And more information will come out as the days go by. Okay, we have line one, Jessica in Salem. Salem, hello, Jessica. Oh, Jessica, you need to turn your TV down. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, you need to turn your television down, please.
Oh, I'm turning it down, sorry.
Okay. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, Jessica, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I know that there's going to be a mass suicide with the Kingstons, I think you're badass.
Now, how do we interpret that? You know there's going to be a mass suicide in the Kingstons? Now, this person didn't give any detail, and we don't know if this is a crank call, and if it is, then we're sorry for that. But if it's not, is it worth taking the risk? I think that our Attorney General, people who can make some changes, I think they better get their heads out of the sand. Okay, we have line three, Herman in Provo. Hello, Herman.
Yes, uh-huh.
You're on the air.
Okay, thank you.
What's your question? Hello?
My name is Herman.
Yes, what's your question?
I live in Provo, and I just wanted to tell you, you're doing such a good job. I wish the Mormons listened to you.
Well, thank you. I wish they would as well.
You've done a really good job.
And the polygamists
need to. I've been reading that Book of Mormon about 8 times now. Every time I read that Book of Mormon, it tells me it's a false prophecy. There's nothing true about the Book of Mormon. And Joseph Smith was one of the biggest liar I ever met.
I hope you haven't met him.
Forget about it. You know what I mean?
Yes, I know.
There's no such thing. If it wasn't for Joseph Smith, we wouldn't have polygamy.
That's true. We wouldn't have Mormon polygamy in this
country. And he started it. And I cannot see why the Mormons can see that. Why do they? You know, I was a Mormon. And I never heard, when I was raised up as through the Mormon, I never heard polygamy.
No, they don't talk.
Eating it,
no.
And more, I studied so much, my eyes are so wide open, you can't believe it when I read the Book of Mormon.
Well, why don't you start reading the Bible and read it through about 8 times?
The
then you'll really get open
wide
eyes.
It's not true.
Okay. Herman, I want to thank you for your phone call. It's encouraging, but we do encourage you to get into the Bible and read it because
I read the Bible too.
Good, good.
I read the Bible and the Book of Mormon. Like, I have to laugh and I read. You know, every Sunday in the afternoon, at about from eight to nine, I read the Joseph Smith papers. You know, Joseph Smith history. I have to laugh because it is not true. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yes, I know what you mean. Exactly. That's why we do the show. We just
love
want
your show.
Thank you very much.
Thursday night. I can't wait till it comes on.
Thank you. And, you know, in response to that, we know it isn't true. In fact, Sandra Tanner is going to be on in May, and we're going to discuss all of the internal evidence and other evidences that the Book of Mormon isn't true. It couldn't be true. But what we want to do on this show is to get people, whether it's Mormons or polygamists or people that are atheists or anybody, just to check out what you believe. Just check it out. Why do you believe what you believe? If you believe it only because your parents told you, that is a dumb foundation. You need to check it out and research, and you need to do critical research. And I know that polygamists and Mormons do not ask you to do critical research, but you need to. It's your eternity. And according to what the Bible says, once you're dead, you go to where you're going to be for eternity. You won't have a second chance. It's so important. That's why we do this show. Okay. It looks like we have another call about the pact on line two. Hello?
Hello.
You're on the air. You have something about the suicide pact?
Yes. Is this Doris?
This is Doris.
Oh, hi, Doris.
Hello.
I would like to stay anonymous, but I grew up in the Kingston group.
Okay.
And I read your email, or I listened to your email that you read.
Yes.
And I know in the Kingston group you have to live up to your parents' standards that sometimes can be pretty strict, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And suicide is never the answer, but Utah is one of the ten highest suicide rates in the U.S. You know,
mm-hmm.
And I would just like to. I know this show isn't supposed to have opinions, but I would like to tell the young. These people, these three kids, to not worry about what their parents' expectations are, and go out and live a life of their own, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not to stress out the way they are, you know.
That's good advice, but it sounds like that the parents of these kids were demeaning them and giving them no value. They'd rather see them dead than leave the group, you know, and that's a horrible thing to say to their children. It's horrible. I was told the same thing, so I know exactly what that feeling is.
Yes, yes, and I agree with these young kids because I grew up there myself, and that email that you read, it sounded like this teen did not like their parents so much. So mm-hmm. I would advise that they, you know, if you don't like your parents so much, suicide is not the answer.
No.
You can leave and live a pretty productive life, you know.
That's true. And I thank you for calling and saying that to these young folks, because that's true. There is a life to live out there. God gave us life. The Bible says choose life. And that's what they need to do. And we want to help them. And if you, you know, if there's anything that you can do, if you want to email us or whatever with suggestions, but we want to help these young kids, these young adults or whomever they are. So thanks for calling and giving us your information.
You're very welcome.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so it seems like we've got confirmation more so that this is going on. I know that there's a lot that will come out from PR inside, from inside the Kingston group, saying how wonderful they are. Things like this don't go on. Things have changed. Admitting, of course, that things once were not good, but it's still the same inside the group. It hasn't changed. Polygamy is against God's will. Polygamy is an ugly way of life. It is not the life that God has for you. God has an abundant life, and He will give you a life of joy and peace if you'll give your life to Jesus, who gave His life for you. And believe me, it's not the Jesus, it's not the God, it's not the salvation that the Mormon religion teaches. It's totally different when you get into the Bible and read it. It's lovely, it's beautiful, it's something you want. When you have a God that wants you and wants to love you, then it makes all the difference in the world. I know it made a difference in me when I discovered the true God of the Bible, the true Jesus of the Bible. We have an author question. This is probably not much that I can answer here, but it says, Hawaii passed the same-sex marriage. How long until the polygamists want equal opportunity? How long? They've already been wanting equal opportunity. The problem is, if polygamy is legalized, then it's going to open up a can of worms that's unbelievable, because then there will have to be new laws. I mean, it'll completely destroy all the present day insurance laws and laws of last will and testaments, and which wife will get what, and how will the set up, and which wife is number one, two is going to receive the house or the homes or the cars or whatever. It's just going to be a mess. And then again, they want the polygamists would rather have it decriminalized rather than legalized. But decriminalized only takes something that's against the Constitution of the state of Utah and against the United States. The Supreme Court has already ruled against polygamy. It wants to take those two and just completely ignore them and take away all of the ramifications, the consequences of breaking the law. And that isn't right. Decriminalizing polygamy is not going to solve one single problem at all. It's just going to make something illegal acceptable. That's all it's going to do. I received an email from a lady who has come out of the FLDS. I received this a couple of weeks ago. She said, and this was before what's happened this week with is coming out in the news media about Warren Jeffs taking over the FLDS from jail. She said there's been a lot of drama going on in the group lately. When the people went to a recent meeting, and this was the last Sunday of January, the meeting she's talking about, they sat for 1 hour of silence and was told to concentrate on their faith in the prophet. Now, what happened to faith in Christ? But now it's faith in the prophet. If they were worthy, the prophet would speak to them. After an hour, he came on speakerphone and told everyone that he had dismissed the presidency and that there would be more people thrown out in the future. And that seems to be what happened this week. If that wasn't enough, he told them that the people were not worthy of raising their children and the priesthood would have to raise them. It makes me a little upset to think the men are expected to work hard for them and every week hand over their paycheck to pay Warren Jeff's lawyers and then be told that they are not worthy to raise their own children. It's unbelievable. Also, the people have been told to take inventory of everything in their homes and turn in the report. Also, at the recent priesthood meeting, all the men had to write down their phone numbers and the company they have service with. Now, what do you think about that? I know all the people live in fear and unrest. How much can they take? Oh, my question is not how much can they take, but how much will they take, for heaven's sakes? I realize there's a lot of brainwashing going on in these groups. And as far as the inventory, taking inventory of everything in their homes and turning it in, it's more control. It's just control, so they'll know every penny, every nickel, every dime. The Kingstons have been doing that for years. At the end of every year, they have to take inventory, every pencil, every penny, every paper clip, every notebook that they have in their house. They have to write it down and turn it in, which is a control treatment that they have from the leadership, so the leadership will know how much assets are available for him at any given time. And as for writing down the phone numbers and the company they have service with, She says, what do you think about that? Well, I do know that in El Dorado, in the FLDS compound down there, they control all of the cell phone incoming and outgoing calls on their server. And so possibly they're setting up their own service and making sure that they know who has service for what, so that they can't keep anything secret from the leadership. And so we ask the question, not how much can they take, but how much will they take? We need to pray as Christians that God would open up their minds, open up these groups so that we can get the truth into them. They need to know what the truth is. We have here, this is something that really is going to needs to take more time than what I can deal with tonight, but just to let you know that the Canadian court case trying to discover whether polygamy should be legalized in Canada or not, just discovered, although the court case is almost done with, but they've just discovered that there's 4 years ago, about 4 years ago, a 13-year-old girl from Bountiful had been illegally taken to the United States by her parents and married to Warren Jeffs. Jeffs, of course, is the prophet. He was 48 years old at the time, and he was a fugitive running from charges that related to underage sexual activity with minors. And so there was a copy that was faxed to the people in Canada about this that's going on. They found about it in El Dorado. And so they're investigating this now, where he took three young girls, 12 and 13 years old, and married them. And we'll deal with that more as we talk about the FLDS in the future. And we're also having John Llewellyn on in the future to talk about the Canadian case. And so we are going to deal with that as well. So there's a lot going on in the polygamy groups. We appreciate all of our viewers and all the information that we get. People email us information. We certainly do appreciate that. Thank you for the calls. Once more, we beg you in the Suicide Pact, don't do us. Let us help. In 1 John 4:16, it tells us that God is love. Verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Growing up in the polygamy group, I was relentlessly threatened with God's wrath, His judgment, and punishment. I wasn't taught about John 3:16 that testifies of God's magnificent love for sinners. Religious leaders deceive you by using threats of God's wrath, of shame and guilt, to manipulate you into obedience. But it was God's love that brought redemption. It was God's love that brought forgiveness. It was God's love that brings us into His grace and gives us faith. It's God's love. It doesn't bring fear. God's love drives out fear. If your leaders are using fear of any kind to force obedience, it's merely proving that 1 John 4:18 is true. Fear has to do with punishment. Jesus came to save. He didn't come to punish. It was He who took your punishment on the cross for your sins. And if you will trust in Jesus alone as your substitute, the one who took God's wrath for your sin, you will have no reason to ever fear the arm of flesh in your polygamy group. The one who fears is not made perfect in God's perfect love. God wants us to have a full and abundant life, not a life filled with fear that God never meant for you to experience. Trust in Him. Trust in Him alone. You can throw out polygamy, throw out Joseph Smith, throw out your so-called prophet, which really isn't one because Jesus is the only prophet. Throw it all out, because all you need is Him. His love is perfect. There is no fear when you're living in His perfect love. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next week on Polygamy, What Love Is This? Good night.
This has been the audio podcast edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? This program is a production of A Shield and Refuge Ministry and Main Street Church of Brigham City. You can view current and past video episodes, as well as download audio episodes of this program, at whatloveisthis.tv. If you or someone you know is in need of assistance in leaving a polygamous situation, please contact us. We are here to help. All of our contact information can be found at shieldandrefuge.org, or call us at 877-425-9993. If you have any questions or comments about this or any of our other programs, we'd love to hear from you. Write us at email@whatloveisthis.tv. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again.